Welcome in, latest episode, That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike. Go on our Twitters. Let me know if you can hear me. Let me know if you can see me. I want to do a little bonus episode. I've been meaning to do a power ranking show for a little while now. And what better time than right after the NFL draft? Because now the draft's over, we can kind of officially shift gears. Spring football's over, so these are the first power rankings since post-spring. And, hell, I was just kind of bored on a Saturday night, and I figured I'd kick back with the cousins. Got a cold one here. Got some nice bourbon. No Cousin Shane, just so you know. But so I'll run through the power rankings. You guys can pick them apart as we go through here and ask me questions when we're done. But I'm feeling pretty good about these. Good. All right, number 15. We always go dead last. Oh, yeah, and as always, maybe some of you are new here. Maybe you've just discovered us since last season, but I only have one criteria for these, just one. If Team A meets Team B on a neutral field, who's winning? That's what I'm going off of, and that's it. So I'm not putting, this is 2025. This ain't 2024. This is a new season, new year, all that. So without further ado, dead last in my heart and dead last, I think, on the field till further notice. They need a new coach. Kentucky. They're going the old route, bringing back all these guys that, you know, have experience, but the experience they have is not that good. Oh, I just got unplugged. But just like Kentucky's football program's unplugged right now and lucky to win five games next year, I like to say the only thing Mark Stoops does right is this right here. He does have a hell of a bourbon. I think it's going to be the last year for old Kentucky. Head coach Mark Stoops, he's the longest tenured coach in the SEC, and I think he's going to be looking for a new job here soon. So, dead last Kentucky till further notice. I don't even know if you care about football anymore. Remember, your coach tried to leave for Texas A&M. I still haven't forgotten that. So, you're dead last. You're dead to me. 15, Mississippi State. Arguably could put Mississippi State lower, but I do have faith, at least in Jeff Lebby, to coach and develop quarterbacks and have that high-flying offense humming. Once again, they've completely overhauled the roster. I don't know why they didn't do this the year prior. That would have probably been a better strategy. I'm not even convinced Jeff Lebby's going to stick around much longer, but while I question him as a head coach, I have no questions about him being an offensive mind, and even last year with Michael Van Buren, a true freshman, they showed promise. Of course, he's gone, but they got Blake Shapen back. As long as the defense has got somewhat of a pulse, Mississippi State's going to be better this year. It's still a really uphill climb, and I really think 15 and 16, they're kind of like a league of their own right now, and it's in a league you don't want to be in the SEC. Let's waste no more time on those two until they actually deserve it. Number 14. I struggled with this because I am a fan. I like the way the program's going, but we gotta see it again. Give me Vanderbilt, 14. And I feel dirty saying that because they proved a lot better last year. But again, this is 2025, and we got to see them do it once again. They're not going to sneak up on anybody. And this year, the schedule's a little bit more daunting. Let me throw it up there. I mean, I think there's a real possibility that old Vanderbilt stumbles out the gate. Not the first game against old Charleston, whatever. They'll kill them. But at Virginia Tech, that's a tricky game. At South Carolina. And then Georgia State right out there. I mean, again, I'm not trying to project ahead, but I don't have a ton of confidence in Vanderbilt being, you know, just some elite program now. They got to do it again. Love Diego Pavia. Love the tight end. But I'm keeping them right there until further notice. Number 13, Arkansas Razorbacks. I love the coaching staff. I think Talen Green's one of the best players in the entire SEC, but can he stay healthy? And what does he have around him? I think those are real question marks for Arkansas this year. So right now I got you at 13. I don't think many people have high expectations for your program, nor should they really. Love Sam Pittman. I don't know if he is even a mid-tier coach in the SEC at this point in time. I hope I'm wrong, but I like it. Both his coordinators, and the coordinators have done wonders there previously with with Barry Odom and Kendall Briles? Can Bobby Petrino and Travis Williams, can they do it, what they've done? I mean, it's a tall task, because I don't care how good of a coach you are, if you're deficient overall in the roster, overall talent is not where it needs to be. So Arkansas, I got you 13. And I feel pretty confident about that. Maybe even flipping them with Vanderbilt at this point in time. Now, here's where I'm going to lose some people, but I've already lost Cousin Shane probably. Tennessee, number 12. Oof. Playoff to number 12. Oof. I'm not feeling good about this. The only thing we can say great about Tennessee is the schedule. I mean, yeah, they do have a schedule that could get you to 9 wins, could get you to 8. Again, this ain't the schedule game. This is, if Tennessee were to meet, let's say, South Carolina on a neutral field, who am I picking? Right now, I have Tennessee as the 12th best team in the conference. And that may sound crazy, but, I mean, they have almost nothing back on offense in terms of key contributors from last season. Nico, that's obvious. But across the offensive line, replacing 4 or 5, and the one guy they are bringing back, Tennessee fans unanimously hate's a strong word. They thought Lance Hurd was a joke. He was overpaid, and they wanted his ass benched. That's your main lineman you got back. A guy you would have, I don't know if you would have been happy to see him leave, but he was massively disappointing last year. You lose the SEC Offensive Player of the Year at running back. Receiving corps totally new. You bring your tight end back. He suffers a devastating injury in spring, and it may miss. I don't know if he'll be back for the start of the season. You bring back an All-American at corner. He tears his ACL. They just had several linemen off the defense drafted. Now, I know the defense of line is not like completely barren or anything, but that's going to be tough to replace as well. I don't know. I'm not feeling good about Tennessee right now. So I got him number 12. And I think Josh Heupel's an elite coach. He's got to prove it this year, though. If they get to 8-4, I think that's maybe his best coaching job with this roster that he's got coming in this year. Number 11, Missouri. Could have one of the better defenses in the entire conference. But what is this offense going to look like without Brady Cook, Luther Burden, Theo Weiss? I don't know. That's one of the biggest mysteries in the SEC right now. So Missouri, I like what they did in the portal, but this is a kind of like a make it year or prove it year for old offensive coordinator Kirby Moore. He lost a lot of his mojo, I thought, last year. Hugely disappointing. Remember, we were the people out here saying Missouri's a lock for the playoff. I know Drake said they were close there at the end, but not really. This was far from a playoff team. But if they hit at the quarterback, maybe they can get there again, because they did do a hell of a job in the transfer portal. They're just kind of an unknown. I don't like to give all this praise to transfers until we actually see them in the SEC. So Missouri's got a lot of room to jump up this list. Number 10, Auburn. Oh, Auburn. Playoffs or bust, right? But can Hugh Freeze get you there? I sure as hell don't think so. Now, maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I feel like I've been vindicated on every Hugh Freeze take up to this point. So can they get it done with Jackson Arnold, Deuce Knight? Tall, tall ask here. If we had a qualified head coach, if we had an elite head coach, maybe this team would make a playoff run. But I don't think so the way it's constructed right now. That Baylor game, tricky, tricky, tricky as hell. Could derail the entire season. Hell, Oklahoma too. I mean, that's all of a sudden. We'll get to Oklahoma here in a minute, but that's not a layup. Hell, neither is that A&M. I mean, all these games are tough. So Auburn, till further notice, I got you at number 10. Now here's one. Fans are going to be pissed, but I think this is fair. We're going to do a whole draft breakdown show with Cousin Shane tomorrow, but one team that really, really had a great NFL draft was probably not a team that many were expecting to have a great draft, and that's the South Carolina Gamecocks. Shout out, how about this stat? I retweeted it. See if I can find it real quick. South Carolina, I mean, they had They had five players drafted, which, again, not a crazy amount, but check this out. Of the top 50 picks in the NFL draft, 24 of them came from six schools. And it's a lot of the usual suspects, right? Ohio State just won a championship. Texas, one of the best now in the country. Michigan won a national championship 2 years ago. Georgia, always in contention to win a national championship. Oregon just won the Big Ten, went undefeated. And South Carolina. So those are your schools that produced half of the top 50 prospects in the NFL draft. South Carolina's an outlier there. So they lost some high-end talent is the key that I'm trying to point out there. Can they replicate that? Can they just, you know, I know they go to the portal. I know they draft and develop. They do a hell of a job down there. But can they replace all that? How does Sellers maybe this guy that everybody hypes up and he can't quite live up to it? They still don't have receivers down there that I think are upper echelon in the conference. I don't think they have a really outstanding running back. And everyone off their defensive line, aside from Dylan Stewart, just got drafted in the NFL, as well as a linebacker and a safety. That was, again, that was a high-end pick in the NFL draft. Can South Carolina just snap their fingers and replace those guys? I don't know. I think that's a huge, huge question mark. And that's why I've got South Carolina number 9. In the SEC power rankings. How about Ole Miss, number 8? Now, they lost a ton to Jackson Dart. Shout out to him going in the first round. Walter Nolan also in the first round. But no one is replacing more than Ole Miss. We've hammered that point home. Now, you could also argue no one attacked the portal as well as Ole Miss, even though there are a couple contenders for that. But how good? Everyone's anointing Austin Simmons. He's probably going to be fantastic. But is it going to be fantastic right out the gate? Or is it going to take him a couple weeks? I don't know. I mean, that's the million-dollar question right now in Oxford. And let's say he's $1 million, but after losing so many pieces around him, can he really elevate essentially an offense that is replacing more production than anybody? Man, he would have to be a hell of a player to elevate that team right out the gate. And I'm not saying by November, I'm saying by late August, early September. Very, very difficult. So I got Ole Miss 8. I got Florida number 7. And this is assuming DJ Lagway is healthy and plays. If he does, I mean, I may have Florida too low here at number 7 in the SEC. Defense took major strides at the tail end of the season. Can they carry that over? They gave old Austin Armstrong the boot. Great move there. Bring back old Ron Roberts at defensive coordinator. I think that's one of the first really good moves that Billy Napier made. We just got to clean up special teams, get Lagway healthy. But they have all kinds of weapons down there. A lot of young talent at running back, at receiver, at tight end. Florida, I think, is going to be very, very, very good this year. I may even have them too low at number 7. So one team that I've left off here, that I haven't got to yet. Oklahoma, come on, number 6. I had Oklahoma about 12, I think, in the before spring power rankings, but I've been kind of blown away by some of the additions they've made, the strides of the offense. I mean, I'm hearing people say their offensive line could be one of the best in the country. I don't think that's true. It's kind of an Oklahoma media guy, but again, as long as the offensive line is average, and they bring back a ton on the offensive line, I'm going to throw up the returning production for the offensive line snaps for Oklahoma. They are 4th in the SEC, 71%. So that's a huge uptick. John Mateer, you guys know what I think of him already. I think he could be one of the best quarterbacks in the entire SEC. Deion Burks, who didn't get to play a ton last year, I think he is maybe the most underrated receiver. And then with Brent Venables becoming the defensive coordinator, still got major questions on how good of a head coach Brent Venables is. But as a defensive coordinator, there may not be a better one in the country. And that includes Kirby Smart. I'd put him behind Kirby, but maybe not. I mean, the resume is fairly close as defensive coordinators. So I like that he's going back season the defense. I know they had a couple guys taken off that defense in the draft, but I think Oklahoma's going to be fine on that end. I think Oklahoma is a playoff contender. I really do. Number five, here's another potential outlier. Texas A&M. I don't care that they shit their pants in November. Come on. That was year one. This is year two. Mike Elko, good coaches, take a huge step forward. All these elite coaches in SEC recent history, and I'm not saying Elko's elite. He's got to prove it. But all of them, you know, from Saban to Kirby to Urban Meyer and Josh Heupel, Lane Kiffin, all these guys, year two, took huge step forwards, and some of them won the national championship in year two. Let's find out if that's what it's going to be here at Texas A&M. They bring back a ton of production. Everybody in the backfield, essentially, everybody on the offensive line, quarterback, of course. Got to get that defense corrected. I can't believe we're sitting here saying a Mike Elko defense was a liability, but it was. If he can get it close to the level he had it when he was the defensive coordinator in his last stint in College Station, A&M is going to go to the college football playoff. I think they have that potential. I'm not predicting it because they're still Texas 8-4 to me until further notice. But again, this is 2025. Everybody's undefeated, right? So give me Texas A&M number five. Give me LSU number four. Love the moves they made this offseason. I think Garrett Nussmeier's second year as a full-time starting quarterback, if he can just eliminate some of those mistakes, he's got to get that continuity with a bunch of new receivers. If he can get that going, that'll be huge. Big question, though, Blake Baker defense, how will this unit look year two? They look like $1 million about halfway through the season before they figured out, or they didn't figure out, but other teams figured out, just run the quarterback on LSU. They can't stop it. Can they stop it this year? Whew. You know, that's going to determine how good of a season LSU has. So give me LSU number four, give me Alabama number three. And I even flirted with putting Alabama a little bit higher. Only SEC team that did not lose a scholarship player to the portal in the spring window. So Kalen DeBoer, are they cooking down there? Seems like Ty Simpson's run away with the quarterback competition. And I think that's great news. Some people may look at that as bad news. I think it's great, because that tells me he's established himself. He's ready for his moment. These other guys, though talented, are not even threatening him. I love to hear that. They bring back a ton at receiver. And they still got a shit ton of talent from the Nick Saban era. And hell, DeBoer just signed an elite class too. So I think Alabama's the team everybody's sleeping on. Again, I've only got them number three in the power rankings. You could make a case they should be even one or two. But for now, Georgia, number two in the SEC power rankings. I have a little less confidence in them at the quarterback position, at offensive coordinator. And they are losing a lot on the line of scrimmage. I've never in my life have I seen Kirby have to hit guys in the portal on the defensive line, yet that's what they're doing. Now, it's probably because they lost about 37 guys in the NFL draft. But I'm used to Kirby and company just going to recruiting and replacing those guys. Next man up. I don't know that they have the next man up right there in Athens. So I'm kind of weary of Georgia. And again, when I say weary, we're used to them being foregone conclusion. Going to win the SEC, going to compete for a national championship. Are they still at that level? Probably. I got them number two in a power ranking, so I still think they are, but there's more doubt in my mind than ever before, I think, with the Georgia Bulldogs. And that's a big reason why I have number two and not number one, because I have no doubt that Texas is going to come on in here and whoop all our asses. Arch Manning, Sarkisian, God's gift of football throwing, God's gift of coaching football, apparently. They just got 12 guys drafted in the NFL. I don't even think they're going to miss those guys. I mean, hell, their quarterback went in the seventh round. But no, seriously, they've attacked the portal, the spring portal window, and got a lot of key pieces. And apparently they're just paying out their ass to anybody and everybody that is interested to come and to go play down there. I think Texas is going to reload. So I can't wait for week one, Texas at Ohio State. It's probably preseason number one, preseason number two going head to head. So Can't wait for it. Liquid said Arch Manning just won the Stanley Cup, while Army says he gonna shit the bed. And I just love how split people are on Arch Manning and what he could be this year. But I think he's going to be just fine. In fact, I think he's probably going to be an upgrade over Quinn Ewers. And I think you saw that. Again, the draft, we shouldn't look at the draft and then say, well, you know, Quinn Ewers, he sucked because he went seventh round. But, and that's not what I'm saying here. But I think, kind of like Shedeur Sanders, you know, the hype was not matching the production, if that makes sense. And Arch will bring more, I think, to the Texas offense. I think he's clearly more talented than Quinn. They couldn't keep Arch off the field this year in a lot of crucial situations, including playoff games against A&M. I think old Arch is going to light it up. George says he'll take DJ Lagway versus anybody. I'm right there with you. I got DJ as the number one quarterback in the SEC, even over old Archie. Anything else? All right. I feel like I've been talking, because I have, for over 20 minutes. This is a lot easier to do with Cousin Shane, but got any questions for me here as kind of wrap this one up? Thomas says Nico's better learn from Shedeur. You know, that certainly crossed my mind. I wonder how much Nico's draft stock is affected. I didn't think this stuff behind the scenes really affected him. I mean, I think if you're an elite player, they'll take you, but I think Shedeur just proved otherwise. If there's a lot of nonsense, if there's a lot of sideshow, I think NFL teams are going to be less interested in you. I'll tell you what, one thing, Nico's dad better not come out here and say, you know, there's NFL teams that we're going to say no to, or whatever the hell Dion said. I mean, oh, that came back to bite him in the ass, didn't it? Cousin Jesse says, Texas, the best team money can buy. That's true, but it's all legal now. So I think Texas is going to buy itself a national championship before long. I mean, they're knocking on the doorstep. Liquid says he's watching DJ Lagway highlights from last season, and some of the stuff he did was Mahomes-esque. Crazy arm angles and escaping the pocket. And you got to remember, DJ was just a true freshman. Throw it into the fire because the starting quarterback got hurt. So, I mean, I think he's seriously talented. Jesse Sewell, the Heisman, best quarterback in the SEC, could be. He looked like it last year at the end of last, especially when he put the team on his back and almost, I mean, not single-handedly, but basically single-handedly beat Clemson. You know, the defense stepped up there with an interception there as well, as I recall. But again, they're losing their tight end. They're losing Rocket Sanders, who was so, so valuable to South Carolina last year. Have they replaced those guys? I don't know. Cousin Todd says, underestimating the Gamecocks. Maybe. I think that's the preferred spot, though, for the Gamecocks. When they're hyped up, they don't live up to it. When they're disrespected and underrated, they seem to exceed expectations. So, Cousin Joshua says, Bo Prabula clears the ball. That's funny. I hope he does. I mean, hell, can start at Penn State, but best quarterback in the SEC? I don't think so. Zach says Shador's interviews must have been absolutely god-awful. Mm-mm-mm. Cousin Edward, which of your predictions were right last year, Mike? Not many. I mean, yeah, we made picks every game. Can we simplify it a little bit more? Yeah, I know my quarterback rankings were pretty god-awful because I had Brady Cook number one. Because I thought Missouri was going to be like LSU 2019 on offense. They were far from that. But I think basically, I'd say the rest of the top 10 of the quarterbacks I nailed pretty closely. Pretty well, except I had Diego Pavia dead last, I think. What number was Vandy? Vanderbilt was number 14. And LSU, I saw somebody else ask that. LSU, I got them number 4. So I think the way this works, if you're top 4 in the SEC, I know 3 made it last year, but I think it'll be 4 And hell, maybe even five, because they'll balance it out from year to year where they try to average four. But top four, most likely to go to the college football playoff, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, and LSU. That's how I have it right now. Cousin Jim says I got Ole Miss and Oklahoma backward. I got Oklahoma 6, Ole Miss 8. I could see that. I mean, I'm not necessarily down on Ole Miss. I just, a lot of questions there. Can we get the list? Yeah, appreciate you. Cousin Matthew, can we get the list? All right, real quick, let's run it down real quick. Number 1, Texas. Number 2, Georgia. Number 3, Alabama. Number 4, LSU. Number 5, Texas A&M. Number 6, Oklahoma. Number 7, Florida. Number 8, Ole Miss. Number 9, South Carolina. Number 10, Auburn. Number 11, Missouri. Number 12, Tennessee. Number 13, Arkansas. Number 14, Vanderbilt. Number 15, Mississippi State. Number 16, Kentucky. Poor Kentucky. I think we're about 30 minutes in here. Any other questions before I jump off here? Again, Shane and I will be back tomorrow to recap the draft, and we got a couple interviews that are going to be dropping here soon as well. But Matthew says his feelings have been hurt by Missouri. And this is a good one from Cousin Tyler. Still got Texas over Georgia. How many times we got to teach you this lesson? That's a fair comment. But again, this is 2025 power rankings. So what you did in 2024 is meaningless. This is neutral field, team A versus team B. You're telling me if Georgia and Texas met Atlanta, I don't even call that a neutral field. Let's say they played in Nashville. How many people are putting money on Georgia to win that game? I think most people would bet on Texas. I could be wrong, but how about real quick, I saw someone there, they're mad. Colin, Tennessee 12th. Ouch. I love the show, but that's hard to hear. I think it's accurate. I think there's just too many unknowns with Tennessee, particularly on offense. And remember this, I think Josh Heupel's an elite coach. I think he's top 10. I don't even think it's debatable that he's a top 10 coach. But where he has been struggling lately is his offense. I mean, even the most diehard Tennessee fan, I think, would admit that. Now, I know the running game's been elite, but with four new offensive linemen, new quarterback, new receivers. I mean, how much confidence do we have in Tennessee's offense to be equal to last year even? I mean, I think it's going to be worse than last year on offense. They would have to take a step up on defense, and I don't know that they could, because I think they were a top 10 defense last year, maybe even a top 5 defense. So can they do that again? Maybe. Maybe. Stevie, what team is most likely to fall or jump? Great question. Let's say most likely to fall. It's always A&M. I'm probably hyping them up like we do every offseason. They don't deserve hype, but we do it anyway. So I got A&M at 5. That's they're most likely to plummet down the rankings. Most likely to jump up, either South Carolina at 9. Or how about Auburn at 10? Maybe I'm dead wrong about Hugh Freeze. I mean, he's a hell of a guy. He would never blame anybody or do anything, you know, like call an escort 100 times. I mean, this is a quality guy here. So I could be dead wrong about old Hugh Freeze, even though everything I said is well documented. But maybe I'm wrong. That could be the team that I'm way wrong on. Cousin Patrick said you gave Tennessee 12th, and Cousin Shane said he's not showing up. all right. Well, hey, so I hit 30 minutes here. I think that's gonna do it. Just wanted to do a quick one here. Wanted to do a post-spring SEC Power Rankings. We got a lot of fun stuff coming on the channel. So if you're not already subscribed, hit that subscribe button. Won't cost you a thing. Like, share, all that jazz. We would appreciate it. And again, Shane and I will be back 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, Sunday night. And we'll probably have a interview dropping Sunday morning. We're going to see how that one performs, dropping one on a Sunday morning. So check that out. Until then, we appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.